Welcome back to another episode of the Balcony Chatter Podcast. I am your host, Andrew McKenney, with my co-host, as always, Tim Taylor.
Present.
And this is going to be a tough episode for us today. As a lot of you can imagine, I'm sure that this isn't really the episode that you wanted to hear us record either. We've got a lot of people reaching out to us about where's the new episode, what's going to happen, and blah, blah, blah. There's a lot. There's a lot to unpack here. And none of it is any good. So we'll start with the fact that the Bruins are out of the playoffs. I mean, the record-setting, historic Bruins are out of the playoffs in the first round, and I will just start, before I give my real thoughts on it, I will say, Tim, I was right. That the only team that could beat the Bruins, or the only team that was going to beat the Bruins was the Bruins, and that is exactly what happened.
Yeah, I didn't expect Montgomery to have his hands as much on it as he did.
And at the same time, not. At the same time, had his hands in his pockets for some things, and some things touched it way too much. Which we can get into at some point. But, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that it's all Montgomery. I'm not going to sit here and say that
one person. Please don't take my comment as that either. But I just thought it would be a lack of something on the ice, or falling apart, or Matt, or whatever, bad decisions on the ice. But I do think in certain ways they were set up for failure here, especially with the way that game five went down, and anything that happened after that.
So I'm going to get some heat, I'm sure, for some of the things that I'm about to say in this episode, but we're going to do it anyways. I don't really care. I've gone through a lot of different stages as a fan in the last couple days of being angry, being upset, being bummed out, kind of gone through all of it. But I haven't really talked about it much because it's been something that's, again, it's irritating. So it's like, where do I begin is really
I rifled off a late my time, so ass crack of dawn your time, just regurgitation that I had to get out after just sitting in silence for a few hours after the loss, and only got back in the morning. I'm gonna save it for the episode.
So
I'm ready, baby. I'm ready for it. Me and Andrew have not talked about this.
We've exchanged
probably, besides me doing that fat amount of words, like one word texts even down the stretch of that game.
And what I did receive from you was a screenshot of me unsending a text.
Yes.
Because, again, I thought it would be a good idea to wait.
So the anticipation's at an all-time high for such a shit circumstance.
So you say game five, so let's start there.
We should pick up where we left off.
Basically, look, this is one of the things that I think I'm going to get heat for, and I will explain myself here. I don't think that Patrice Bergeron should have came back when he came back. I think that that is not the reason that we lost. What I'm saying and what I mean by that is the team was absolutely rolling, playing very well, and everybody was kind of making up for the lack of Bergeron and Krejci and all of the things that we were missing. And they were all, you know, Coyle was playing absolutely out of his mind for being asked to slot into a position. And I think that Bergeron could have sat out that game knowing that he was injured anyway. And see what happens. It sort of messed up the momentum of the team. Not Bergeron. He scored in his first game back. I'm not saying that. But the way that the team was playing before, it was almost like, we have this ability to let Bergeron sit out. Turns out the guy had a herniated disc in his back, which is also insane. Because I can't even imagine walking up the stairs, let alone taking a hockey hit or skating as hard as you can up the ice. You know, the guy is an animal. There's never been a question about that. But I think that that was one decision that Montgomery could have made to say, hey, let's give him a little bit of extra time. We're in a great position being up 3-1. And same thing goes for Ullmark. Ullmark should have got a rest because he is clearly hurt as well. I believe that Kevin Weeks had said that he has a major injury that he was playing through. So you give Swayman a shot in game five, and you have really a lot less to lose. I mean, now in hindsight, we had everything to lose and it happened. But I also think that if you put Swayman in earlier in the series, like in game six, where we were down, we ended up losing that game 7-5, right? So if you put him in after three goals, maybe we have a shot. So there's a couple of things there that I think Montgomery should have taken the reins on and maybe made the decision to change. But
very, 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 very light way of looking at it, in my opinion.
Well, I just, for me, the game five, when you're up 3-1, is when you have the opportunity to do things like that. And I think that that should have happened. I think it would have went a long way for us. But again, I'm not a professional hockey coach.
We made comments how Ullmark was making saves with his head.
Yes.
Like, it's cool and impressive, but it's like because he can't move properly. Swayman shouldn't have only come in game six. He should have started game six.
Absolutely.
And you should have been ready to lose game six in Florida. And you should have been ready
to adjust,
to have to have him start again in game seven.
Yeah.
That is the biggest blemish on Montgomery. I don't get these line mix-ups. Bergeron, I have no opinion. He scored in the game. He wasn't the problem. You want to not shake it up, fine. He shook it up even with guys who are already on the ice. The line changes were just like, okay, let's see. But he won't put Swayman in? And then, like, Ullmark didn't play six straight games all season long anyway. Not to mention injured.
Right.
Like, to not put Swayman in game six is a catastrophe. But to not start him is stupid. Like, the whole thing's dumb. Like, I'm never going to get over that.
No.
Swayman was a top 10 goaltender all season long, and that doesn't matter. We could have had some of the backups that we've had in years past, and I would want them in game six because Ullmark needs a break, and he's saving pucks with his head because he can't reach his arms up. What's happening? And Swayman doesn't even get the call when we get annihilated? God, just stupid. And you just throw him in cold in game seven. Just ice cold. He's only played 10 minutes because Ullmark punched Tkachuk with his blocker pad and got a game misconduct. And then you don't even start him in game six. I will never understand that. That's what lost this series to me. And I'm sorry on Penny. How the fuck do you not start Swayman in game fucking six? How? Why are we even having this conversation? Ullmark is effed up. That is where I'm maddest. So mad. And you can't put shit on Swayman because he played a hell of a game.
Yeah, shout out to Swayman.
Who hadn't played a game in a month almost.
Yeah.
Just insanity to me. Insanity that you don't play Swayman game six. I will never understand that move.
I know.
In what could have been Patrice Bergeron's final fucking game. Stupid.
I agree with you 100%. I think especially after what Ullmark had done to lose game five, clearly it was a lot of mental and also injury. So I think that it was time to make a shakeup. And even if I'm with you, Swayman should have started game six. Even if he doesn't start game six, why do you allow Ullmark to let up six goals?
Why do you let him stay in?
That's what I'm saying. But exactly.
But beyond the goals, it's like he's clearly hurt. That's right. Why he's letting in all these goals.
Yep.
Like, is Ullmark like the strongest, like most stubborn individual on the face of the planet?
No.
Where you can't pull him out of a game? No. Oh, that's my anger part of it. I'm pissed at that part of it. I will never understand the goalie management. And I'm not a head coach. I'll never be it. A head coach, probably of hockey in any form or any way. That was a dumb move. That was stupid. And hey, maybe we play Swayman and we still lose these two games, but you have a way better shot when you're not throwing him in ice cold to start a game seven.
Not only that, but he's clearly way healthier than Ullmark. So you have a way better chance. Coaching and play is what lost this series. 100%. You saw what happened when Florida made a goaltending change. It worked for them. Yes, they still lost. Bobrovsky lost a game still, and he let up a few goals, but like, it worked for them.
And you have them two playing of the best both goalies. Of those guys is going to benefit the longevity of their playoff, at least the next round. And guess what? Everyone saying you lost to the wild card needs to shut up. You need to shut up and sit down and put that in perspective. We almost had Carolina. This was a game difference. This division, this wild card division, is the NHL is stacked. And yes, there's no excuse for us being the best team in the NHL history. There's no excuse. But stop acting like Florida is this decrepit team. They're up 2-0 on Toronto right now. And guess what? I think they might have. I think there's a world where they do Toronto in five. They're a good team. Let's get off, though. We lost to a wild card. The problem is we lost. And the problem is we lost on our own. It's not who beat you. You beat yourselves.
100%.
The narrative of Florida is just like, shut up. They're a solid team. And they're I really do believe, I would even put money on it, that they're going to go through Toronto. Again, up 2-0 right now in the second period. On the road. In the loudest Toronto arena you've heard in years. Because they haven't been to get the second round in years. Like, shut up about, like, oh, it's a wild card team. The East is stacked, but the Bruins still beat themselves. It's just not a part of the conversation.
I got to be honest with you, too. Like, yes, I agree with what you're saying there, but this, the team that showed up from Game 5 to Game 7 gets smoked by every single team. I don't care if it was the Islanders. I don't care if it was Carolina. They get absolutely smoked by any team.
Detroit.
Any team in the East that made the playoffs would have
destroyed. Five of them that didn't.
Right. Yep. Pittsburgh, they would have crushed you if you play like that. Washington, they would have crushed you. Like, I mean,
Philly's going seven with you.
It was pathetic. It was the biggest collapse to go from 3-1 to lose the series with what you had, with the historic season, with the group that you had. Again, we've said this many times on this podcast. Don Sweeney did everything he could to get you the team that could win this. And I will go as far as saying that Bertuzzi showed up. He came to play. He had five goals.
That I think we needed David Pastrnak to have. And I know David Pastrnak was being zeroed in on, but I didn't feel like 60 goal scorer David Pastrnak ever really showed up at any point in the series. And I know he scored goals.
I'm glad you say that. And I'm not sure if you've heard this yet, because today is exit interview day and all that kind of stuff. First shift, first game, Pasta got injured.
Got it.
Shoulder.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like he was a shell of himself.
Yeah.
And but that didn't feel like, and that one, I'm not like, where's Pasta? But it's just like, he's literally not shooting the puck.
Right.
Like, I followed, like, all these gamblers and everything, and the surefire bet for the year is David Pastrnak is going to put 5 pucks on net per game on average.
Yep.
I don't think he did that once this series.
You know what?
He couldn't put the puck on net, and I didn't, and, you know, we were on with Jake and everything, and I didn't really feel like that was entirely because Florida zeroing in. You and I had that moment where we saw him drive all the way into the zone.
And give it
up. And then, like, yeah. Give it up, but he had to wait for people to enter to even be there to give it up. Like, that's how in the zone he was.
You know, I think
it was uncharacteristic stuff that, yeah, you can only be explained by an injury. That makes perfect sense. No, I had missed that. It makes perfect sense.
That's probably why you saw that nasty goal that he had in front of the net where it was through his legs and up over the shoulder, because that wasn't like a slap shot. You know, it wasn't something that was going to hurt his shoulder. That was what he had to do in order to get goals. And to be honest with you, if you're injured and you can't take that shot from the point that you always take, that everyone knows you're going to take anyway, then you have to get in there and get those goals. You have to get the dirty ones. You have to get the ones where you're chipping it in. Like, you have to turn into that guy.
But also, we also should probably get you off the power play where we're reliant on you to be in that slot to rip a
100%.
Shot. That's back to coaching.
You know, I really like Montgomery. I think that he...
I do, too. I do, too. And listen, I don't want him fired. No. I didn't want Cassidy fired, and he didn't do shit for us for years. I mean, he did, you know? But you know what I mean? Like we were mad about Cassidy, and we spent a lot more time complaining about Bruce Cassidy in any half of any season in the years past since we've been doing this podcast than we've complained about Montgomery all year. You know, we don't complain about it.
I will say, though, Bruce Cassidy 100% would have made that goaltending change.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind that he makes that change. Because there's a lot of things that you scratch your head about.
He wouldn't have done it too damn late.
No, exactly.
I don't think he does it halfway through game six. No. I think he does it to start game six. And I think there's a world where he does it even sooner than that.
And again, I do want to shout out Swayman because he in game seven, there were many opportunities for the Panthers to end it in overtime. And he kept us in that. He played a hell of a game. You know, obviously letting up that goal at the end is insane. You have 58, 59 seconds left in order to, with an empty net, and you can't close out that game. All right. I also knew I had the worst feeling about it after game six. I said, this is done. Like, this is over. Yeah, every time you got the momentum, every time you got a goal, I don't even want to talk about that Jake DeBrusque hand pass, but every time you got a goal, they would score immediately.
Yep.
You know, so they could never hold the lead. Florida, like, again, credit to them that they did not go away ever. They were relentless, and that is exactly what beat us, because they were relentless on top of the fact that we weren't playing to our potential. We had a ton of turnovers all series that never one time got better, which I don't understand at all. And I don't put that on coaching, because you could tell them a million times, guys, don't, you know, pass it to the neutral zone where, no, you know, without looking, blah, blah, blah. The players didn't stop doing that. I don't think that that's part of the game plan, is to no look pass as often as you can. So I think that the players needed to adjust, because the Panthers just were on us 24/7, and they were hungry. They wanted it. And I mean, think about it. Like, if you're up 3-1 and you force a game seven, and you are the underdog that is never, ever in a million years supposed to beat this team, you have all of the momentum. You have all of the, you know, hockey gods on your side. If you play the way that you've been playing that got you to game seven, that's how I knew that this wasn't going to go the way. I was, especially they went up 2-0 on us in game seven. I was like, this is definitely over. The fact that we came back and tied it up and then took the lead, I was shocked. You know, I was like, I was psyched. I was happy, but like, I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been shocked if we lost 2-0.
I would have. I thought they would have pelted us for more than that.
Well, I'm saying I wouldn't have been surprised if we didn't score any goals.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just a really, really unfortunate way to go out for the team, with how much potential they had, what they did at the deadline and the offseason in order to get to where they are. In a really, really sad way to potentially be the end of Bergeron's career and the end of David Krejci's career, and it probably is.
Yeah. They had the stage set for a perfect ride out.
It couldn't have been set up any better.
Yeah.
And
I don't ever want it set up this good again.
How emotional Bergeron was and Krejci were at the end of that game, and him coming out, or, you know, before going into the tunnel, you know, waving to the crowd and, you know, blowing a kiss or whatever. It's just like, I know that that's kind of the character that he is anyway. He wants you to feel like, you know, thank you for everything. We appreciate you and we love you all as fans and blah, blah, blah. But to me, it felt like more than that.
No, it looked like more than that.
And I have to imagine, you know, herniated
disc in
your
back.
The
only way we get either of them back if they both are like can't sleep for the next 2 months unless they play hockey again, because this is bullshit and they should have won the cup. But I'm not going to hold my breath on any of that. That's literally the only way I understand this happening. They have to be so mad and disgusted that they want to go back out there. With a herniated disc in your back, I can't imagine you're going to really have that much fire. And I don't think Krejci ever planned on a second year again either. Anyway.
Well, I don't know. The way I see it is, I don't know, man. It's just, it's a tough way to go out. But at the same time, like, when you're getting injured like this and there's no payoff, why would Bergeron want to come back and get injured again? It's like you're literally now risking your second half of your life for something that might not happen. This was the year that if you were going to risk it all and you were going to take the injuries as they came and as unfortunate as they are, this was going to be the year that you really pushed yourself and you were like, I'm done. If we don't win it, we don't win it. But if we do, everything was worth it. Everything that all the injuries, everything that we went through was worth it. But why are you going to do that all over again with a team that there's no way that they can build a team as good as this team next year? With the contracts that are expiring and with the guys who are basically all of those guys are rentals. Orlov would like to go back to Washington, but he would be open to negotiating or having contract talks with the Bruins, is what I gathered from today. And he also said, this is my last contract, which it is. I mean, he's 32 years old. He wants a 5-year deal. That's it. This is the end. Hathaway is basically a throwaway for us at this point. We're not going to re-sign him. And Bertuzzi is on the fence about what he wants to do. No contract talks, obviously, and I don't want to get into this off-season stuff yet because I'm not mentally prepared to dig into that, but I'm just saying, there's no way in my mind that they can possibly build a better team next year if Bergeron and Krejci were to come back. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah.
But man, I would love to see Bergeron with the captain spot, with the captain jersey on for the 100 year. I can't think of anybody that's alive and still playing hockey that I would love to see more wearing that captain spot for the Bruins. That's, you know, like
even alive. Alive is the more.
Sure. I mean, as far as Bruins history goes, there's nobody that should get it more than him, you know?
No. It's like him and then Chara.
Ray Bourque
still alive.
Bobby Orr, that guy's still alive too. You ever heard
of
him?
That's true. Yeah.
I'm sure we'll be seeing all of those guys next year at one point or another, whether they're dropping a puck for something or hopefully Chara's getting his number retired. Again, this is all stuff for later episodes because I'm still in shock, to be honest with you. Like, I'm not in shock the fact that they lost because they earned that loss. You know, they didn't play the way they should have played. But I'm still in shock that we are out in the first round, which is why if you go back and listen to episodes that we've done and probably conversations that you and I have had, I always say, should we make it to the next round, we would play X, Y, and Z because I'm never confident. And this this proves it exactly.
I thought both Boston series were going to go 7 once they both lost game 5.
Yeah, you said that to me. I remember that.
And then of the two, I was more surprised at the one that didn't than the one that did.
I don't know, man. It's frustrating. And I get like a lot of people being like, you know, fine, jump off the bandwagon. It's like, what bandwagon are you talking about? Not to mention, like, I'm the least bandwagon fan that any of you know. Trust me. Like, I know that I'm upset and that I'm frustrated about this, but I think that it's warranted because all of us expect
First of all, you pay to be a fan of this team. Like, you literally pay, and you have a financial investment in the betterment of this team. So first of all, we're all entitled to be pissed.
Sure.
But you of all people are entitled. And if you think that's jumping off the bandwagon, he's not losing his tickets, folks. He's not jumping off. But if you're a moron if you think everything they do is God and like without critique. Go live in a communist country if you want to not talk bad about this. The Bruins screwed up. They blew this. There's no other way around it. They blew this, and that's deserved to be said and screamed from the rafters. It is, if the Patriots didn't literally have a perfect season, it's to me, it is neck and neck as the most embarrassing season, the most embarrassing and pathetic outcome of a season in Boston sports history.
To be honest with you, I think I would put it higher than the Patriots because the Patriots made it to the Super Bowl.
Yes. Yes, they made it there. They got all the way.
And I think that
we
would
be. You can look at that. It's like, oh, it's a bigger loss. It's like, yeah, it's still a harder fight.
We would be
19-0.
Heartbroken if we lost in the finals, but we would have made it there. We would have shown that we were supposed to be there. You know, like,
and you know, the way injuries were looking, we would have been proud of what it like getting there on two wheels, which it sounded like we were on our way to.
Sure,
not that we were even hobbled at all right now, but we were hobbled in ways that we didn't take care of, and that was a problem.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, I think everybody that wants to be upset about this is allowed to be upset about it. I think that you should be, because this was such a magical year. We said it so many times, like, enjoy this while it is happening. Regardless of what happens in the playoffs, enjoy the season that we're having. This was an amazing year.
And I'm deliberately not bringing up the President's Trophy curse, because
no,
that's not what did this. Maybe that would have got us in the future rounds, but that's not what did this. But yeah, I still stand by. I'm still incredibly proud to have the best regular season team in NHL history. I am. I'm very happy with that. It means nothing. It always meant nothing.
Right, exactly.
But I'm happy without that. If we were going to win the President's Trophy, I wanted to win the record because I thought this might happen.
Yep.
I didn't think it would happen this badly or in this way, but I'm still happy that happened. And this is still probably like just almost neck and neck with the 2011 team in terms of my favorite Bruins roster that I've ever gotten to watch on ice.
Yeah, and that, and
it's like I loved this team through and through, and I still do, and it's over now. Like, it's not going to be the same team. We've already talked about that. We're not going to get into it. But I still loved this team more than anything. I will never forget the joy they brought me all season long, and it doesn't necessarily make this moment that much worse. It's because, yeah, again, I don't know if it's you and I just being pessimists, but or just trying to be ready, but we never let ourselves feel like this is a surefire bet to win the cup, even when we said we're the only people who can get in our way of losing the cup.
Exactly.
Which is what I still feel for the Boston Celtics, and it's still looking like the issue. You can still be proud of them. You know, you can still be happy with the ride. And
it's just,
know,
like,
it was a sick regular season. You and I saw a lot of games together this year, which was fun. It's just going to be impossible. Like, it's going to be impossible to let go of the anger of Patrice Bergeron going out like that, if that is the case. But I can separate it, you know, like there was some really unbelievably good times this year. And no one's off the bandwagon, dude. Shut up.
Yeah. It's just like, you and I have been watching the Bruins for our entire lives. And
yeah,
it's there. We've seen
Byron Defoe days.
We've seen so
Joe
many
Thornton
teams
days.
And it's been so fun. But like,
yeah,
this,
I mean,
was
you
a
and
special
I
lo- year.
You and I probably fell in love with the Boston Bruins during the PJ Stock era. Right.
Absolutely.
Which is why we loved it so much. And like, we were like a first round bounce team and whatever. And like, that was still the fun of the Boston Bruins. And then in the late first decade of the 2000s, you know, the 00s, if you will, it started getting fun. It was like, oh, wait, we're kind of going second round. Oh, we're kind of going a little deep. Like, what's going on here? Okay. Got Lucic and whatever. And then we start making runs, and then we win the cup in 2011.
Yeah.
And it just like sealed the, like, we'll die for this team. We'll die for Patrice Bergeron, like, wherever this may go. And then the 10s have been a roller coaster, you know, President's Trophy in 13 to lose the cup. That one really sucked. There was no real world where we win the cup when Patrice Bergeron has one lung inflating. It's just not going to work out, especially against what now is, it's so weird the way Chicago died out, but was just one of the strongest. I think it's fair to call that Blackhawks team a bit of a dynasty.
100%.
I don't know if you disagree. You know, that was a dynasty that they lost to, and that was the end of it, but it was still a dynasty. Then on through the Blues, some rough patches here and there. Finally ditching Shirelli on all these years, getting rid of Sagan after winning the cup. Just a really weird 2010s, and it finally felt like, all right, you and I have been on this hill for 2 years. What are we going to do to try to solidify the fact that Patrice Bergeron needs another shot at the cup? And I didn't believe Sweeney could do it, and he did everything in his power, and this is the best foot forward you could have had, and they blew it. So it's just, it's weird. But yeah, I will still bleed black and gold for the rest of my life. There's too much rooted here at this point. It's 20 years of like active fanhood,
yeah,
and like, you know, a 30-year life, like, whereas, or 25 years, honestly.
Yeah,
I feel
exactly.
Like I was rocking the Bruins since I was five-ish, you know. So it's like, dude, we're in, but it's just like, what the hell else do you do next year? I don't ever want to win that much again.
Absolutely.
I really
not.
Don't.
No, no, no.
I really don't. I'm down to play for, even if we had somehow had this roster again next year, I'm fine with a wild card slot. Truly. I never, like, and it's funny because, like, I went to bed two nights ago, like, I don't ever want to win a regular season game again, but I want to be in the playoffs somehow. And here I am 2 days later, and I'm still just like, I don't ever want to be in the number one seed. I don't, I damn sure don't want to win the President's Trophy. It's just like, it just sucks. It sucks way, way, way more.
It's one that we're never going to get over, regardless of how long this goes. It's just, yeah, you know, it was a tough one, dude. And it was also tough because of how up
we're
and down it was.
We're 16 years out from 2007. Still sucks.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's a real bummer. I hope this isn't the end for Patrice Bergeron, but if it is, everybody that listens to this podcast and everybody in Boston knows how much we and everybody else love him as a player, what he's done for this franchise, this team, what he's done for other players in the Bruins organization and in like the minor league organization too. Somebody said the other day that he'll literally call up like Providence and like talk to some of these guys that are, you know, having a rough go or whatever it is. I mean, this guy is an all-time great person and player. So we're never going to be ready for when the end actually happens, whether it's right now, whether it's after next season. I don't care when it's going to be. We're never going to want it to happen. But, man, I hope we see him one more year. I know it's a lot to ask.
I mean, especially for the 100th. I mean, just like it's just not going to feel right. The 100th year of this team isn't going to feel right without Patrice Bergeron.
Nope.
I really hope it happens, but I've also just been really in the camp that I think we've been watching his last ride.
I mean, before this year started, I think that they thought, you know, obviously with Krejci coming back too, hey, there's some unfinished business here. And they set up perfectly for that, and it didn't work out. Is he going to really be saying that in the offseason this year? Hey, there's some unfinished business here. We're going to probably have a better chance than we did last year. Highly doubt that. So, again, it leads me to believe, why would he do it? He loves Boston. He loves the guys that are on this team. Pasta, Marchand, you know, all the guys that he's been around. But he's done it all. He's won gold medals. He's won the cup. Like, this was it. And it sucks. And it's always going to suck. But I hope it's one more year. It's the last thing I'll say. I don't want that to be it. But if it was, like, I really did. There was a lot of times this season specifically where Bergeron would score a goal or whatever it was. And I would really be thinking about this might be the last year that we get to watch him play. And kind of tried to soak that in throughout the season because it was such a magical year and it was such a special year. And it was like, if this is it, like, you know, we've got to watch him for so long and it's been such a joy. And I enjoyed that a lot this year too. On top of everything else, all of the, you know, things that the records that we broke team-wise, player-wise, hopefully Bergeron breaks that Selke record and wins it this year because he's nominated for the 12th year in a row, which is absolutely absurd. But I mean, we love Bergeron. I know he's probably our favorite Bruin of all time. I know he's yours, and I don't see how
favorite
anybody,
athlete, yeah, athlete, all sports,
exactly. I don't see how anybody could top Bergeron. You know, I know that people love Ray Bourque and people love Bobby Orr, and that's perfectly fine. I understand that 100%. But for me and for you and for our lifetime, like, he's our guy.
Patrice Bergeron and LeBron James were drafted in the same year.
And you love them both equally.
Oh my God. How could you fucking do that right there? Sorry, Aunt Penny. I don't even know if she listens
anymore.
Man, I don't know.
All the
F-words I've been dropping on this podcast.
I needed something, man.
God. All right. Well, if it made you feel better, then I'll just go kill myself. All right. Well, we got to transition to more bad, but I'll leave it on the ice just for a quick moment. Just want to touch a little bit on that Oilers and Kings game 6, just how cool playoff hockey is no matter what and how fun it is. And I know none of us want to watch it ever again, but and even myself included, I can't help but follow along, but I don't know how many games. Well, I'm a bartender who has only so many things he can put on TV, so I will be watching the rest of the playoffs. However, Connor McDavid, good Lord, just unreal the way he enters a zone is just, it's just like it, Men Among Boys. I don't know if anybody watches Premier League soccer here. It's like Haaland and how he plays over there. It's just like it looks like a different game for him. That was insane. And I will say I'm happy to not be in the position of Kings fans, who I really do believe traded away at least the first two rounds to their rival. They traded Quick to Vegas. And look who's playing the Oilers next round.
Yep.
You know? Just this guy, the dude they had out there, and I guess he had a good end of his year, but he just like, he was in all white pads, and it just felt like someone did tryouts before the game to be there. But yeah, he looked healthy, as rough as Ullmark looked injured. But yeah, that was a really fun game. Shout out to our boy Miller for the seats, and yeah.
I
just had a touch on that.
I'm going to say that I'm not watching. I'm not going to watch for a bit. I need a break from hockey.
I get it.
But
I was working.
Ask you,
I was working when it happened, so I had to go right into Kraken.
Nope.
Colorado. Right into it. Go Crack, by the way.
I was going to ask you, who do you want to see win the whole thing? Who do you want the?
And here's the thing. Florida annoyed me in a lot of ways, and there's a lot of guys I hate on that team now, but I still want them to beat Toronto.
Yes, absolutely.
Just beat Toronto. And I don't want Carolina to win. I want Devils to win the East, and I'm good with Kraken or Knights or Oilers, honestly, in the West. And then ultimately just always West over East when it's not the Bruins, so someone from the West winning there. But those are four teams I'm all, like, okay with seeing.
I would. I mean, McDavid's
and there's like the
one.
Dark thing of like, if Florida goes all the way, I won't care, and I won't be mad at it, because I'm really annoyed with the categorizing this loss to the fact that Florida was a wild card team and acting like they weren't almost not, and acting like this didn't have to do with us beating ourselves. I'm really like, that's what I'm really annoyed with among like Bruins Twitter and Bruins Nation. I'm really, really annoyed with the whole. They're a wild card team. It's like, dude, pay attention.
Yeah,
like don't look at the facts. Look at the details.
I wouldn't mind.
Don't just look at the facts. Look at both. All right, whatever.
I would like to see. I wouldn't mind seeing New Jersey win, to be honest with you. I mean, it doesn't really matter.
I know, and I wouldn't either. Yeah. I really wouldn't. I like a lot of the guys on that team. It's just, you know,
except Dougie.
Oh, yeah. Dougie's a clown.
Yeah.
But I like Mercer a lot.
I'm so
like
glad Jack they beat Hughes the Rangers. I'll say that.
Yeah. 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 Dougie's a clown.
But anyways.
But yeah. There's three teams in the West I'm fine with, and there's one team in the East I'm fine with.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to see Toronto win the Stanley Cup in my lifetime.
Absolutely not.
Gross.
So do you want to get into the Celtics here? Or do
we
you
have
want
to? I mean, we okay. have to. I mean, okay. I know we were going to keep it short and sweet, so we might as well. The Celtics are coming off of a pathetic series where Jason and Jaylen lost their first game in the first round of the playoffs since 2017-2018. Is that good? No, that is bad. They gave it up to this Hawks team, which, hey, I think the Hawks can shoot. They're good shooters. We lost one of those games. I said it'd be gentlemen's. I've said it on the last three episodes of podcast. Go check it. I said it'd be a gentleman's sweep. Then they blew game five horribly. Shot themselves in the foot. Horrible defense. Horrible perimeter defense. They come out last night, and I've been saying all weekend, because I've been in hardcore pessimist mode, especially since the Bruins lost, that watch and be ready for this Celtics team to drop one to the Embiid-less Sixers. And what do? Let's do it game one. Let's lose game one. Let's give 45 points to James Harden and make him look like the MVP he hasn't looked like in 3 years. Horrible. The perimeter defense is non-existent. It doesn't even get to be pathetic. It's not there. It's not a real thing. I'm disgusted with this team. I don't know how much they want it, but it does not feel like enough. I keep thinking that one of these losses is going to smack them in the face or the ass and get them to go. And I expect the next one where they fall asleep at the wheel. They're asleep at the wheel. This is the easiest pathway the Boston Celtics should have to the finals. There's no Milwaukee anymore. I am afraid of the Heat, but there's no Milwaukee, and the Heat are depleted. And And either way, the best roster in the East remaining by far and by long is the Boston Celtics, and I still don't trust them to get out of this round against Philly. I'm in a dark place. We'll see what happens. But again, this team's going to beat itself. They've done a good job of it so far. And if you fall asleep on the perimeter and let people shoot unbelievably, you're just going to lose. Embiid will be back for game two. I guarantee it. He did get MVP today, so he will be hot and about that. But maybe he'll fall on the floor enough that his knee will injure him and he can't play anymore. What a moron. I don't know. We were ready to record last night with ideally a little bit of a can't believe we barely pulled that out, but the Celtics won tonight, and now they had to just shoot themselves in the foot. The best meme I've seen in a long time was the I need an ambulance, but not for me. But they put the Celtics face over the guy and they go, I need an ambulance. And the bottom frame says, and it is for me. I just shot myself in the foot. Good Lord.
I mean, they literally gave it away. That last turnover, or that turnover there at the end.
Brogdon, man. Whoa.
That was an all-timer.
But you can't, I want everyone to relax. Like, what a horrible moment for the guy. But we got to relax a little bit with the, like he's the worst now.
Yeah.
He dropped 20. He was like the third highest scorer on the team. We need Brogdon. But a very horrible play. But, we shouldn't have been in a position to lose at that point anyway. The game had been lost long before that, even though it was literally lost at that moment.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough, man. It was a really tough one. And at the beginning of this, too, like, when I saw that Embiid was going to be out, I was like, they need to win this game. They have to pull this one out. You have to, like, take advantage when literally the MVP is out. So, like, the fact that James Harden was able to drop 45 is just absurd. That there's no defense at all there. But it's game one. How do you feel about the people saying that Boston or TD Garden, there's no more, there's no home ice, no home court advantage? I mean, it's starting to feel that way.
I wasn't especially impressed with how the crowd was yesterday.
Yeah.
By any means. The hockey side of it, I don't know. You tell me if you feel like there's less wind in that arena. It feels like the crowd is there and the team just didn't show up.
It's a little bit of both. Regard, game seven
Celtics,
was...
Maybe the NBA is a little too rich. Yeah. Maybe we're seeing what's happening up in San Francisco, where they just got this new arena and this basketball team that used to play on the other side of the river. And even Steph Curry is disgusted at the lack of enthusiasm from the fans in the middle of a playoff game. I don't know. It's just, but like, it's funny. You just want these prices to go up and up and up. And you're having millionaires sit there who don't give a shit. And it's not good for the game. It's not.
Yeah.
Well, it's fun. A home court advantage. That's why I praise these cities that at least let the watch parties happen outside, and you get a camera that cuts to that, and it makes it feel like the city has buzz and cares.
Yeah.
In Boston will never do that. And it's just like, I don't know. Yeah. I think the Celtics crowd is a bummer. And I think that those prices are just going up and up. They're like, it's like finals ticket prices for when they won in 08 for like the first round. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just getting worse and worse by the year. And I don't know if it's to try to compete with Ticketmaster prices or StubHub prices as far as the fees and all that stuff go. But it's getting to a point where they are pricing out true fans and real fans. Like, I know a lot of people who would love to go to games, I know, especially this year, but it was so hard because they were playing so well, the Bruins and the Celtics too. The prices are through the roof, and it's just not like the normal person.
I heard an ESPN host complain about this, and I kind of like rolled my eyes. Dave Jacoby is a Ringer guy. He's been on ESPN. He did Jalen and Jacoby. And like, I heard him complain. He's like, I'm not taking my family to a game. It's too expensive. And like, I know he's in New York or whatever. And I kind of rolled my eyes, and then he started listing it. He's like, I got three kids.
Yep.
I got to find five seats. I got to feed them. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. I got to park. I got to do this and that. And I was like, actually, yeah, I don't care how much money I make a year. I don't want to go shell out $900 to see the Knicks like play like who, like the Pistons, like, yeah. Like who cares?
No, 100%.
It's absurd. And it's just like, and the crowds are weaker. And it's just like, so many people have FU money that it's a status thing. Like, even in the, like the Kings Oilers, we were in good seats. And like, there was a solid amount of people who just couldn't care about anything going on. And basketball's worse.
Yeah.
Like when you see that at hockey, it's a problem. Cause like hockey's supposed to be our thing. People aren't going to hockey if they don't like hockey. They definitely aren't going to the playoffs, but now right. They are. Basketball, it's like I was at the game, you know. It was like, you know, it's a photo thing. The NBA's kind of popping and whatever. So it's warm in there. It's status. Like, you can see everyone's faces. Like, all the NBA players are some of the most popular athletes because you can see their faces and everything like that.
Yeah.
It's ruining it. It's ruining the game. When you see it at Chase Center, and you see Steph Curry disgusted, you know you're in a bad spot, and that's a big problem. And the worst part of that is that we're trending towards shorter seasons, at least in the NBA. I don't think the NHL is going to do it. I don't think they should anyway. Like, so many, like, hundreds of players played all 82 games, and it's such a physical sport. Like, I love how the NHL is. I don't need less games in the NHL, personally. If they did it, fine. But the NBA needs less games because it's destroying the quality of the sport, and that's only going to increase prices.
Yep.
It's just a problem that's not going to get fixed.
No.
And this would be a great time, if you're a guy with some scratch who lives in a city, to start a sports bar. Make it the craziest experience ever, and charge $10 at the door for a game, and give them a better time than they would even have in the arena. And we're pretty close to being that. There's nothing being like there. That's changing, because being there is starting to suck.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think, too. It's like, if tickets are $150, $200 for the regular season to a game, how many people can afford to go to multiple games a year? Like,
yeah.
I mean, it adds up so quickly. And not to mention, I mean, I don't drink, but I know that you're spending at least probably what you spend on a ticket.
Bro, you drink water, man. You see it there.
It's $12 for a water, or $10.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
You might as well start drinking beer, man.
Yeah.
Like, at that point, like, it's crazy. There's still water in it. Get a little more pack for your punch. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, it's just horrible. They're making it impossible. And
I don't see, like, you want to talk about, like, housing bubbles and all these things, and stuff goes up and it's eventually going to come down. I don't see it changing. They're all still acting like they're hurting from COVID. And it's just like, oh, you couldn't buy another yacht that year.
Yeah.
Like, screw you.
And I feel the same way about season tickets, too. I'm like, there's no way that they're ever going to go down. Why would they ever go backwards?
Hell no.
You know?
If there's ever a moment that they should go down, it's right now for you. Hey, sorry we ate shit in the first round. We're not going to do that increase we talked about. And that's not even going down.
Right.
That's just not doing the insane increase that they gave you next year.
Yeah.
It's a bummer. It's a real bummer. Something will change. Like, people will win. The fans will win. The fans are the whole reason this exists. And it's not the 1% fans who are taking all these seats in all these games.
Well,
and here's the thing.
Right.
New York figures it out. Like, New York finds a way. Like, the Garden's unmatched, even though I don't think they're holding their own very well right now in game two at home. But still, it's like, people will still die for that Knicks team. And it's like, why was game one a snooze fest against the Sixers?
See, but the prices for MSG are through the roof as well.
Yeah.
Like, they're insane. I've never been. I haven't been yet because usually the schedule doesn't line
maybe,
up for me.
And maybe it's people not eating for a week so they could go to game one. I don't know.
Maybe. But you're always going to get that in these big cities. I mean, it is the diehards are always going to go. They're going to find a way eventually. There's more fans than people that can't go, you know? Like, there's always going to be the people that are going to, I don't know, just find a way to go. It's just, I don't know, man. It's getting tough. But,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I think this is as mad as I ever got on a podcast, which is a good week for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's deserving anyway.
Maybe it'll be soundbite worthy. You decide.
I'll decide. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that I just decided that it was.
I was like, oh, I yelled there for a minute. I'm just so mad. The goaltending thing just won't make sense to me.
No, never. It won't.
I'll never look back and be like, I understand why he kept Ullmark in the whole series.
Yeah.
Never. Until game seven, which was honestly dumber. I almost think go with Ullmark game seven. Anyways, let's not restart a fire.
Hey, well, we still got the Celtics. We still got the Celtics.
We do. We're not even low pulse. It's just, what are you doing?
We're asleep.
We're not even hobbled. We're asleep. Wake the F up. Here's the one thing that needs to turn around a bit. Quiet Derek White down the stretch in Atlanta. Quiet Derek White yesterday. Need Derek White to get back in the mix. Shout out to Malcolm Brogdon stepping up. The offense can't do any more. The problem is it's the same guys playing defense, and they got to do a lot more. Pathetic what we gave up yesterday. Pathetic. And I see people saying Harden won't do this again. Maxey won't do this again. Cool, Embiid's back. Now what? Still better than that team, but.
Yeah.
Stop playing yourselves, Boston.
Story of our lives.
Seriously. All right, the sun will rise, but it'll never look the same.
Wow. I think that makes me feel worse.
I'm sorry. It's just that we trudge forward or we don't. I'm going to trudge forward. Hopefully we get Patrice Bergeron for the 100th season. I want nothing more.
I hope you're right.
I want that more than I wanted the cup this year, and obviously I didn't get that, so.
Damn.
And maybe that's just because I'm saying it now. Stretched? You want to bail me out?
Stretched.